John 10:10, Jesus said, "The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief comes to do that, but I have come that they might have life and life more abundantly." God's will for you is life, and I'm not talking about just regular old, plain old, just living, just existing, but I'm talking about life more abundantly. That's what God wants you to have. Deuteronomy 30:19, he said, "I place before you today death or life, blessing or cursing. Choose life so that you may live." It's easy. We just have to choose it. And God's will is not our carnal will. God's will is not our fleshly will. You realize our flesh desires things that are contrary to the will of God just by nature. And the fact that we have carnal bodies, meat bodies. And when Adam and Eve sinned, sin was passed down to every person throughout all of history except for Jesus, who was bypassed through a Virgin Mary and was born of the Spirit. And the Spirit and the Word of God came and was made flesh and dwelt among us. So he's the only person that did not have a carnal fleshly desire or will that was contrary to the will of God. And so we trust that because of that, Jesus is the only pure, spotless sacrifice. But the rest of us, we deal with carnal nature. Now the Bible says that he was tempted in all points, just like we are, yet without sin. The only person that ever did not sin. That's why Jesus is the only way of salvation. Because Buddha sinned, Muhammad sinned, all these other people sinned. I'm sorry. But they have sinned, and they're not qualified to die for your sins. Much less be risen from the dead, which we know Jesus proved that, and that he rose from the dead. So, I'm going to need some volunteers, because I want to talk about tonight a little bit about, I want to talk about your spiritual anatomy. I know in school many times we learn about physical anatomy, where we learn all kinds of things about the flesh, and we're constantly teaching our flesh carnal things, which there are things we need to know in this world, but we also need to know things of the Spirit. We need to be spiritually minded. And this is something you don't learn in school, but I need 8 volunteers to come stand right up here. 8 volunteers, and I only need 8, the first 8 to come up here. Anybody that wants to, just come up here if I can get 8 of you. I'm going to need some help tonight getting this across. Okay? Now, I have a number behind my back between 1 and 5, and you got to tell me what it is. Because one of you is going to be death and one's going to be life. And I don't want you to say, "Well, why did he pick me to be death?" All right, what number? Pick a number between 1 and 5. Bing, you got it. All right, your life, your death. Sorry, okay? We're just going to make, but don't take it personally, okay? Don't take it personally. You're just pretending for the sake of illustration. Now, life, come here. I want you to stand up here. I want you to stand right here. This is life. Death, I want you to come over here, okay? I want you to stand right here. All right, stand right here. And you're just, for tonight, we're going to convert you back to life here in a moment. Now, I want you, Samuel, come here. You be right here. You're going to be body, and then I need you to come here, Miss Wilda, stand right here. You're going to be soul. Now, Robbie, come here. I want you to come here. You're going to be spirit, okay? Your spirit, right behind Miss Wilda there. Okay, so now I'm going to have you right here. Miss Debbie, I'm going to have you right here on this first step. Miss Alma, I'm going to have you right here on this second step. And Gene, come up here. You stand right here on this top step, right there. Okay. Now, you're wondering, why does this look like a wedding at Calvary Cathedral International? But I'm going to explain here. Okay. Actually, you know what, too? I think I'm going to switch here in a moment. I'm going to do this first, and then I'll switch. This is what I want to explain and show because it kind of helps us to see things. A lot of us know these things, but when we see it, it helps us kind of connect the dots here. Okay, so we have spirit, soul, and body. And body. All right. That's right. Thing that moves. All right, then we have life and we have death. Now, we are a spirit, okay? We are a spirit. This is who we are, okay? We have a soul. This is what we have. But we live in a body, okay? Now, if I take the spirit, the soul, out of the body, what happens to the body? Okay. That's what happens to our body, right? So we pay no... Really, our body is not as important as our spirit or our soul, yet we spend so much of our focus on this, right? And so the Bible says to be carnally minded. Now, you have to understand, too, that the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. So soul, come over here. I'm going to break out the soul here because we are a spirit. We have a body. We live in a body, but we have a soul. So come over here, soul. I want you to stand right here. And your soul is made up of mind, will, and emotions. Okay? Now I'm talking about God's will for you is life. Now the Bible says to be carnally minded, to be fleshly carnally minded is death. Whoa, okay. All right. To be spiritually minded, if we have them, death and life, y'all come over here. Come over to this side. Y'all stay there, body. You stay there. That's all right. Death, now death, I need you down there. Life is here. Death is down here. Now, we're broken out from our body and our spirit with our soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And if we are carnally minded, if we take our mind and we are focused on the flesh, this flesh is destined to die. Did you know this part of you cannot and will not go to heaven? Okay? I mean, even with the when the rapture happens, the Bible says in a twinkling of an eye, we'll be transformed. You know, and so these physical bodies cannot and will not go to heaven. The Bible says the elements are going to melt with a fervent heat, right? So we don't put too much stock into this. So this is destined to die. So if you are carnally minded, okay, if you will to do the flesh, you will die. And you will walk in death. If your emotions are tied up in the flesh, you're going to be emotionally unstable. Okay? But if you are spiritually minded, but from the soul, spiritually minded, with him comes life and peace. When your will is in line with God's will, and you say, not my fleshly will be done, but my spirit will be done, and God's will, which your spirit is one with his spirit. That's why to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because you're one with God, and you're saying, okay, God, I want what you want. When your will, the part of you that chooses, and God's given us all a free will, which I think is awesome. That's what makes us not robots. You know, I was listening to this commercial. We were listening to praise and worship, and sometimes how those commercials jump in on your phone, and you're all like worshiping the Lord, you're in the spirit, and it says, you know, it has some commercial about toothpaste or something that comes on. You're like, what? Could you imagine if church was like that? If Johnny was like, we interrupt this praise break to bring you Pepsodent. But your will determines, okay, am I going to walk after the flesh or after the spirit? I was listening to this commercial, and it was about this this thing, I don't know, where you talk to your phone or your system in your house, and it will, you can program it, and it'll tell you things throughout the day, like Lexi or something. I think, is it Alexa or Lexi? Alexa. And this person had told Alexa to tell me, hey, I want to encourage you. You're doing a great job as a dad. Your children love you and you're awesome or whatever, right? And so this man in this commercial was like, oh, thank you, Alexa. But I thought, wait a second. You told, and I'm sure, I guess it feels good to hear it even if it's from a robot. But you program that thing to tell you that your children love you and you're doing a great job because they don't choose of their own free will to do it. But doesn't it mean so much more when your child of their own free will comes to you and tells you, I love you? And so God's given us the free will, which is a blessing. It's wonderful to have a soul with a mind that we can think on the spirit or think on the flesh. We can have a will that can choose the spirit or can choose the flesh. And we have emotions that can either be emotions that are sanctified, emotions like love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Or we can have, if our emotions are tied into our flesh, we have fear, anxiety, depression. These are the things. That's why you see many people that they're in the world, and even people that are in the church. It's not that they're not born again. It's not that they don't have a spirit, but by their soul, they need God to restore their soul. They need to get their soul, their mind, and their will, and they need to choose God. They need to choose life. They're not making right choices, and therefore, emotionally, they're whacked out. That's why you just think, why do they just fly into a rage and throw a fit? Because their emotions are carnal. Why whenever President Donald Trump won the election, were people pulling their hair out and weeping and sobbing like they were going to die? Why do they have to go to counseling and have anxiety treatments or whatever because of what's happening in the carnal realm? Because that's the only realm they're living in. And we as a body of Christ should not be living in this realm. Or we shouldn't. The Bible says to think on spiritual things. Set your mind on things above, not on things of earth. And so our mind, you need to be set on the spirit. And will, you need to choose the things of God instead of the things of the flesh. And emotions, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And you do that very well, Debbie. Very well. So again, you can be free from depression, but you need to use these gifts that God has given you and the abilities to walk after the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Thank you. Let's give them all a big hand. Good job, guys. Again, it's not anything you don't know, but it kind of makes things a little more plain. Now, there are times in life when I have seen what causes people really to be depressed and really sad and really sorrowful is missing or saying no to the will of God. You want to know, what is it that really, well, you don't understand what they went through. They were beaten as children. And I say, wait a second, weren't Paul and Silas beaten and thrown in jail? And what was their emotional response? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. As they're in the stocks in Macedonia, having been beaten, he and Barnabas were singing the praises of God at midnight. Paul and Silas praising God at midnight. How could they? But you don't understand what they went through. That's no excuse. You make the choice. They were so mindful of the Spirit of God. Now, it might have taken till midnight to get there. But they shifted out of the carnal realm and they shifted into the spiritual realm. And therefore, they were able to praise the Lord and they were free from depression. Imagine where Noah would have been if he would have said no to God's will. He would not have been very joyful. He'd have been very sorrowful. Imagine the rich young ruler. Matthew chapter 19, verse 18. Look in your Bibles there. Matthew chapter 19, verse 18. Jesus had just told him, he said, Lord, what must I do? And Jesus told him to keep God's commandments. Do the will of God. Do his commandments. And in Matthew 19, 18, the rich young ruler said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor your father, your mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? What do I yet lack? And Jesus said to him, if you'll be perfect, mature, or complete, go and sell what you have, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. So he told him what to do. But when the young man had heard that saying, he went away depressed. He all of a sudden shifted into depression. Why? Because he had great possessions and he said no to the will of God. And the result was, as he said no to the spirit and he said yes to the flesh, because that's where all of his life was involved in and wrapped up in, was his carnal flesh. He went away depressed in his emotions. And so every time we say no to God and yes to our flesh, it brings a level of depression in our life. And we need to say no to depression. And many times we're fighting the fruit of depression, but we need to stop it at the root. And how do you stop depression at the root? You get your mind stayed in the spirit, because to be spiritually minded is life and peace, not death and depression or fear and anxiety. Amen. I'm going to switch to this now, Tony. I just realized I'm still holding this thing. Have you ever done that? You get caught up and you forget. I'm just going to set that down there. So, if you're walking away sad, it's because you aren't obeying God's will. And if you aren't having heaven on earth, it's because you aren't obeying God. And don't ask God, Lord, what's wrong, when you haven't done what he told you to do last. You're saying, God, why am I depressed? Have you done what God told you to do last? Maybe that's why you're facing depression. Very rarely, and I'll just say this too, very rarely has God ever told me to do something that I wanted to do in my flesh, in ministry. I would say very rarely. And if you live only after your carnal will, which I know most of you don't, because you're here tonight, and you must die to your flesh many times, especially on Labor Day weekend, to show up on a Sunday night to church. But it will help you, because there may be other areas in your life. I noticed in my life as a kid growing up, I grew up in a pastor's home. We had a wonderful family. And my dad had played rock and roll music in the 60s and 70s. And he played with like bands like ZZ Top. And he played with James Taylor. His manager was the same guy as Carole King and James Taylor's manager. And he was all into the whole sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Major hippie. I mean major hippie. And when he came out of that, got born again, he radically changed. And he realized that he saw the results of the music that he was into and that he was listening to. And he wanted it out of our house so bad that it was like war against any music that was not godly or Christian. And so we did not have any Christian, non-Christian music in our home. And that was just it. And man, if you listen to any music that was not Christian, we just thought, man, I don't know if you're going to heaven. As kids, if you heard some song that was secular in somebody's car, it was like, whoa, what's wrong with them? They're in deep, gross sin. But now rated R movies were okay. And this was the strange thing, Pastor Bob. We watched rated R movies like crazy. Like crazy. But not that secular music. And I'm telling you, if secular music was the door to the devil, Dad nailed that thing, screwed 2x4s to it, but then opened all the windows of the house. And looking back, he would probably laugh too, to say, what were we thinking? What were we thinking? You know, you may say, well, I know this, but is there somewhere that the devil's getting in to your life? If you're depressed or you're having negative emotions, I promise you there's a window open somewhere to the devil in your thoughts. There is a window open somewhere. And you got to ask yourself, how am I letting the devil in my mind? How am I letting the devil in my heart? Guard your heart, because out of it are the issues of life. You've got to guard your heart. And we win souls. The Bible says he who wins souls is wise. People that we can influence them, and we can talk to them, and we can preach the gospel, and by their will, by their soul, they choose Jesus Christ and become a new creature, born again. We're winning souls, and we are wise, and praise God for that. But we got to watch ourselves lest we be a castaway, as Paul said. I got to do what I preach too. I don't want to be cast away. And here we are, we're a great soul-winning church, but if you're facing or battling depression, you might just have some windows open somewhere that you just need to close and say, hey, let's get those negative soap opera emotions out of our life. Well, I don't listen to secular music, but As the World Turns, that's my show right there. And I don't know why. Everything is so dramatic in my life. I don't know why sometimes I just pause and stare into space. I don't know why I'm so selfish. I only read Self magazine, that's all. Very rarely did what I want to do line up with what God told me to do. But at the same time, think about this. How many of you just automatically wanted to do as a kid, wanted to do what your parents told you to do? How many of you wanted to clean your room, and when your parents said, hey, go clean your room, you were like, yes, we get to clean our rooms. Wouldn't that be awesome? I've never seen that kid. Maybe sometimes when you're really spiritual minded. I've never seen a kid, whenever dad said, go out and mow the yard, that they were like, yay! And maybe the first time, but then after that, it was, oh, it's work. I don't want to do this. It's not my will. I remember when I was first asked to do junior high ministry here at Calvary Cathedral, and Dean and Carrie Schmidt were doing children's ministry at the time, and they were looking for somebody to take over this junior high ministry that was called Lifesavers. And I thought to myself, I really don't want to do Lifesavers. I really don't want to do junior high in my flesh, because I believe God has big things for me. Huge things, not a little group of kids. That's my flesh talking. I said, well, I guess if I got to do it, I'll do it. As I got into it, I've been doing that 22 years now, and I love it. And I'm making a difference in people's lives. And I'm seeing people that are changed, their lives transformed. People now that I taught back then, one is a major in the Air Force, came back recently to say thank you, and I was a mentor to him and meant a lot to his life. I say, praise God, there's some fruit from this. And many times I'd be sitting there thinking, well, I'm not really doing anything important. It's not really making a difference. And Pastor Bob would always say, if you can successfully minister to a group of junior high young boys, you can do anything in ministry. And I would say, that's it. If I can do this, I can do anything. Praise God. If I can do this, I can do anything. And so it wasn't my will. It was God's will. But I got my will in line. And I'm telling you, it brought life and peace. It brought blessing. It didn't bring death and sorrow. I didn't want to lead worship whenever they first asked me to. I thought, well, there are so many others better qualified than me to lead worship. And I love to worship God, but I didn't want to lead worship. And here I would be having these awesome times in the Spirit in my closet or wherever, my guitar up a tree on a roof, hiding in a cave somewhere worshiping the Lord. And I'd come to youth and just sit there. And our praise team at that time was really struggling. And it dwindled down to one point where there was just one lady who sang a cappella. And it was pretty rough, to be honest. And I thought to myself, there are so many that are so better qualified. And I was told to do it. I said, no, I don't want to do it. But I'd probably be better than nothing. And I got to thinking, well, we have no musicians. At least, hey, I would be better than nothing, right? And so many times we miss the will of God because we think, well, somebody is so much better qualified than me to do it. Let them do it. But don't wait till every person is removed out of your life to possibly be it for you to stand up and say, okay, I'll serve God. I did it. It was terrible. It was so bad that people told me it was bad. You know that's bad. If I got down here from preaching and you came up to me and said, Dan, that was the worst message. That was terrible. I'm like, well, God, see? And God says, do it again. Not more. Give me more of this. But it ended up being one of the biggest blessings of my life. I've led worship all over the world, all kinds of places, and led people and encouraged people to worship God. And it's been a blessing and helped train up multiple bands and many, many music ministries and music ministers and musicians have come through my ministry and through my life. And it's been a blessing. And I think, well, praise God, I didn't say no. All I had to do was say yes, whether I wanted to or not. I know sometimes I've heard preachers say, well, I don't do anything that I just don't want to do. And I say, man, how do you live? Barely. Yeah, barely. You do things that your flesh doesn't want to do. I didn't want to ask Ashley to marry me. And you may say, what? How did that happen? I'll tell you how it happened, because I was thinking of the flesh. And I was saying, first of all, I'm not qualified. Secondly, I was afraid of divorce. My parents had been divorced, and I saw what happened as a result of that, and I was honestly scared about marriage. Praise God, my mind was renewed. I started to get my mind stayed on the Spirit. We came here to Calvary Cathedral International, and I saw Pastor Bob and Joy Nichols successfully married for many years, and I said, hey, wait a second. It can be done. I saw Charlie and Lori Pryor. I saw their marriage. They seem to like each other okay. And they've been married for a while.
Hallelujah.
I saw Doc and Bess. They seem to love each other. And they've been through a few things. Phil and Susan, married many years. Gone through some stuff. They've overcome some obstacles and still like each other. They're still sitting together. Tony and Miriam, married how many years? 29 years. And he still thinks she's the best thing since sliced cheese. And vice versa. And I thought, and it changed my view of marriage. I was afraid financially then. Then I thought, what about finances? How can I afford a wife? Lord, I can barely pay my own bills. I mean, I'm eating real cheap. And if she doesn't like what I eat for $2 a meal, like the guy who took his date, he took his day out and he said, I'll just have water and lemons. What will you just have? That's how it was.
I tried to be all impressive. I had a credit card, but that only lasted for a little while. As we first started dating, and I got about $300 in debt, and I started sweating on my credit card. And I had to tell her, babe, I'm sorry. I really don't have any money. We can't go out and eat all the time like this. And she said, why didn't you tell me? That's fine. She said, we can go to the park. We can make sandwiches, whatever. We don't have to go anywhere and spend money. Don't get into debt. And I knew then, I got a winner right here. I got a wife. This is the one for me right here. Sign her up. That's right, Big John Hall said. Sign her up.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. That's right, Cody. Hallelujah. God provided. And you know, God provided every step of the way. And somebody told me, it was somebody here, I don't even remember exactly who it was, but they said, if you wait until you're financially ready to get married, you'll never do it. If you wait until the provision comes to step out in faith, you'll never step out in faith. You just need to do it. I was 29 years old. Come on. Just do it. If you wait for the provision, you won't do it. But as you step out in faith and as you get moving, the provision comes. As you step out and just start doing, all of a sudden it's, oh, I see how this works. I got to quit hanging back in fear and step out in faith. And as I do, it opens up. I see. As I walk out into the water, then, as soon as my foot hits the water, then it splits. Oh, I see how this works. Man, I wish I would have known that sooner. I didn't want to sell our house after we were married. I'm still learning not to walk in the flesh because I thought, man, I don't know if I can find a better deal than what I've got right now. I've got a really sweet deal that I have here, and I don't want to sell this house and get a house that I don't like as much or whatever, but we had to have a bigger home because we were having a girl, and we needed 3 bedrooms instead of 2, and so I'm like, well, we're going to need to get a little bigger house, and it was a stretch of faith for me. I know some of you are like, really? That's a stretch of faith for you? Hey, I'm bringing hope to you. If I can stretch, you can stretch, amen? It's the same faith. I didn't want to go soul winning. My people think, man, Dan, he just loves soul winning. I did not like soul winning. Honestly, in the beginning when God spoke to me and said to do it, I did not want to go. Honestly, in my flesh, I hated soul winning. I don't like talking to strangers that I don't know. And asking them if they would die today, do they know would they go to heaven? It's not something that just comes natural in my flesh. My flesh hates rejection. My flesh doesn't like pain. Maybe you're different. But I don't like being rejected. And I went and I got rejected. I had somebody slam a door in my face. And I said, I don't like that. But you know what? You do it anyway. You go anyway. And you say, okay, I'm gonna walk after the Spirit. I'm not going to walk in the flesh. I'm going to walk in peace. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. I'm going to count it all joy when people slam a door in my face. I'm going to say, praise God.
Amen.
That was awesome. Yeah. And the Lord started speaking to me around that time. Some of you might remember a message I preached where I said, I don't want to be like, you know, up in heaven someday and I'm sitting with Peter and Paul and John and Peter saying, man, they hung me upside down on the cross and I still served the Lord, still praised Him, still loved Him. And John says, man, I was boiled in oil and I still served Him. Man, they beat me. They tortured me. And Paul says, I got beat with rods. I got whipped with the same whips that Jesus got like 3 times. I was shipwrecked. I spent 9 days in the ocean. I mean, I had all these kind of things. What did you? And I said, I had a door slammed in my face. somebody told me get out of here. And I thought to myself, I can't be wimpy. Come on, that's just wimpy. Like Pastor said, there was a scripture that said, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And I said, wait a second. That just kind of challenged me to say, wait, my strength isn't small. Come on, I'm not weak. I'm not weak-willed. Jesus set his face like a flint. The flint is such a hard stone. It's one of the hardest stones that there is. That's why Native Americans would make arrowheads out of these flint, and they can pierce through bone. And Jesus set his face like a flint, and he said, I'm determined to do the will of God, and I'm setting my will. I have a strong will for the things of God. And if you don't have a strong will for the things of God, you'll have a weak will, and you'll automatically default to the things of the flesh. And then you'll have depression, anxiety, fear. You want to kill yourself. Whenever you choose the things of the world against the things of God, it brings suicidal thoughts. You say, how do you know? I say, because my dad used to always tell me, Dan, watch out for the 3 G's in life. Stay away from those. I said, what are the 3 G's? The 3 G's are the gold, the glory, and the girls. And I said, yes, sir. And then later on in life, as I lived the life and I read through the Bible, and praise God, read your Bible cover to cover. You need to have multiple Bibles. Bibles that you read through in a year. You need Bibles that you read, study, and just pick apart and dissect. You need Bibles that you can listen to on your phone or whatever, constantly getting the Word in you. But as I was reading through the Bible, I saw and I started to realize the people that killed themselves, what did they do and why did they do that? And I realized one of them was Saul. Saul fell on his own sword, but what did he do? He wanted the glory. He got jealous whenever the women started singing, Saul's killed his thousands, but David 10,000s. And he said, wait a second, I want some glory. Whenever Samuel was supposed to come and offer the sacrifice, and Saul said, I'm not waiting on that guy. Let's go ahead and do it. I'll offer the sacrifice myself because, hey, I'm king. I can do what I want to. Not God's will, my will. I want the glory. And so he did it. He did what he wanted to do. And he fell on his own sword because of the depression and the thought that his life is over. Then you had Samson, another man who ended up killing himself. Now he did take out a whole bunch of people, but he had a girl problem. And that girl problem brought him to his own death by his own hand. And then you had Judas, who for 30 pieces of silver, for a little silver, for a little money, sold Jesus and could not live with himself and went out and hanged himself. And you know, just those three men alone, again, if you've ever had suicidal thoughts, let me say this. Do you want to be in the company of those three men? No. I don't want to be in that company. It's not honorable to kill yourself. It's not good. Now, there's no judgment, no condemnation. And if you've had those thoughts, I'm just telling you, this is something that the Lord has spoken to me, because the devil has come many times to try to tell me my life was worthless, my life was pointless, there's no use in living. But I'm telling you, God cares about your life, and it's not God's will for you to take your life. And all you got to do is get out of the mind of the flesh and get your mind on the Spirit. It's not over. Now, the rich young ruler had done the general will of God. He had done all those things, but then when it came to a specific thing, he said no. He did the general will of God, but he didn't do the specific will of God. And there are too many times that we want our will, and we don't even pray, God, your will be done in our lives. I remember praying in the Power Tower. It was been about 15 years ago. It was some lady called that she would call pretty regularly. And she was a single lady. And as she called, she asked, hey, I want you to pray for me. And I said, okay, what would you like for me to pray? And she said, I want you to pray that this man will fall in love with me. And I want you to pray because there's this other lady that he likes. I want you to pray that that lady will either be moved away or get sick or die or something and be removed from his life, that he will fall in love with me and that we will live happily ever after and all these things. And I said, oh, well, let me just pray for you. Lord, I just pray, God, your will be done in these people's lives. And she said, no, stop, whoa. I said, what? She said, I didn't say pray that. I told you, pray that she would be sick or die or move and be removed from this guy's life and that he would fall in love with me. That's what I want you to pray. And I said, ma'am, I'm not going to pray that. I'm going to pray God's will be done in your lives. And she said, fine, go ahead and pray. I'll just call back later and talk to somebody else. And see, that's where people are when God's will is contrary to their will. They'll say, okay, God, whatever, I'm not doing that. I'll just go somewhere else. I'll serve Buddha. Okay, that's where idolatry comes from. Okay, remember whenever the children of Israel were up on the mountain, you know, Moses went up to Mount Sinai and things didn't happen the way they wanted them to, and Moses took a little bit of time and he hadn't come down for a little while. And so what did they do? They said, well, forget God, let's build an altar, a calf, and let's worship that. If Moses is gone and if God ain't talking to us right now, then let's just build an idol and we'll worship that thing. And let me just say this too, whenever your pastor's will is contrary to your will, or he tells you something by the oracle of God as he speaks the will of God into your life, if you don't like it, you can go find another pastor somewhere else, but you might as well go serve Baal. You might as well go serve Muhammad or Buddha or whoever, go find you a false god, because what you're doing is you're running from the will of God and you're not going to find peace, you're not going to find joy, you're not going to find it anywhere else. That's where that stuff stems from. I'm tired of waiting. And many times people go through struggles and trials and their first thought is, well, I'm just going to end my life. And so that's what they want to do. But they don't give God time to prove to them that their life matters. Many times it's just a matter of time. Wait, be patient. You need the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Be in the Spirit. Don't jump ship. Remember Paul in Acts where their ship was going to be destroyed? They missed God and they said, not God's will, our will. And they went ahead and sailed anyway. And as they're sailing, their ship was about to be crashed on the island of Malta. And there were some people that said, oh, this is scary, we're going to get out of here. And some sailors, the crew, went to the bow of the ship and they were going to act like they were letting down some anchors when really they were letting down some lifeboats and they were going to jump ship. And somebody saw what was going on. They told Paul, and Paul told the centurion, these guys, if they jump ship now, they will all die. They have to stay in the will of God. And the centurion, this time at Paul's commandment, cut the ropes and let those ships fall, and they were dashed and destroyed. And every person was saved, and not one person died on that ship as they stayed on that ship. As it broke apart, they all floated on pieces of the ship to the shore because they said, okay, not our will, God, your will be done. And not one life was lost. So you can jump ship if you want to, but it's not wisdom. You're going to fall to depression, anxiety, fear, turmoil. Good word. Praise God. Good word. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I know sometimes people say, well, how do I know the will of God? God's too busy. I've heard this many times from people, mostly people in the world, that say, God is too busy to care about my situation. And many times I pray about everything. I'm anxious for nothing, but I pray about everything. If it's something worth worrying about, it's something worth praying about. And I remember one time praying about that somebody would sell their home or whatever, and somebody said, don't you think God is just too busy to care whether you sell your house or not? Somebody called in the power tower one time and asked, you think God cares about my cat? I want to pray because I have a cat that needs healing in their body. Do you think God cares about my cat? And I said, yes, God cares about everything, but how can he? Look at all the people in the world. How can God, I think there's about 8 billion or something like that now, 6.2 billion or somewhere around there, last estimate. How can God care about everything, about every person? You got to realize he's the creator and we are the created. You say, how does God care about me? How could God have a will or an actual plan for my life? Psalms 94:9. People do evil and they think, how could God see? How could God know what I do? Whether I do wrong or right. Psalms 94:9. He that planteth the ear, shall he not hear? God created the ear. Don't you think he can hear better than you? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He can see things you can't see. He created the eye. He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. God knows the thoughts of man, every one of them. Proverbs 26:10, that the great God that formed all things, remember, he formed all things, both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth the transgressor. Isaiah 43:1, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee. Isaiah 43:1. O Jacob, he that formed you. He's saying, I'm your creator. I created you. I formed you. O Israel, fear not. Don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. I've called you by your name. Isaiah 43:7 says, everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. He's not just talking about Jacob, but he's talking about you. I made your eyes. I made your ears. I made everything about you. I know your thoughts. Everything that concerns you concerns me. Jeremiah 1:4, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you, I made you. Before I ever did that in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. I have a plan for you. He's got a plan for everyone. And we see that God the Creator is greater than the created. And you say, how could God know everything about every person at all times and care about every detail of your life? Did you know you, even as a physical body, I'm talking about the lowest form of life in the flesh, your body, not talking about the spirit of the, your body, your brain, your physical brain is capable. And every minute, according to the CVS Minute Clinic, if you want to look it up, they estimate that your brain fires off 17 trillion times a minute. Whoa. A minute. And that your eyes see and process 600 billion bits of information a minute. 300 to 500,000 skin cells are being regenerated every minute. In your body, you are growing in 1 minute, you are growing 1 inch of hair. You say, what? An inch of hair in 1 minute? If you had 100,000, they say an estimated 100,000 hairs in 1 minute. So let's say in 60 minutes, in the time I'm ministering, at the time of this service, you have grown 60 inches of hair. Now, you divide it all up by the 100,000 hairs that you have, so it's actually you're growing one hair 0.0006 inches. Yeah, you're tired, Pastor Bob. No wonder I'm tired in church. I just grew 60 inches of hair. Your body does amazing stuff. That's just your physical body. Okay, that's just the package. That's the wrapper. That's not the toy inside. And you're telling me God can't keep track and know everything about every person on this planet all at the same time and can't intervene in the things of man and move in your life and heal your cat. Praise God. Luke 12:6, Jesus was talking about this and he said, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings and not one of them is forgotten before God? Not one sparrow. How many sparrows are there on the planet? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. God cares about you and your life matters to God. Give him time to prove it. Be patient and watch God work things out. Praise God. God's will is not only a destination for your life. There are some people, maybe yes, you are facing depression. Maybe you are in anxiety or fear because you've gotten out of the path of God. I like to see maybe these steps here as your life. And let's say this right here at this point is your conception. The moment you were conceived in the womb. The moment God formed you in the belly. This is the beginning of your life. And then this represents God's destiny for your life, or the path or the journey. And this is the day you pass into eternity, the day of your physical death. And you're somewhere along here and you say, well, I've gotten off of the path of God's will for my life. How can I ever fulfill the destiny that God has for me? I'm up in years. Maybe you've lived a lot of life. And you say, you know what, I've lived so much of my life outside of the will of God. I've been missing so much of the blessing of the goodness of God. You know, the cool thing about God is that God's will for your life is not necessarily a destination, but it's a journey. And at any point, you can get back on God's will for your life and you're a success. That's the hope of glory. That's the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. At any time, you can get back. And wherever you are on this walk, just the fact that you're in it, it's counted a success to God. And there's blessing. Band, y'all go ahead and come on up. God's will for you is life. God's will is not death. I have wondered that myself. At times in my life, as much of the word that I've had crammed in me and I've crammed in myself, against my will and willingly, as much word that I've had crammed in me, the devil has still come and convincingly lied to me and made me think, God wants you dead. God doesn't care about you. God doesn't even know what's going on in your life. He is doing nothing about this. And it makes me realize, if the devil comes to me as much as I know of the Word of God, how much more people that maybe don't know the will of God or the Word of God or know God at all? Like one kid I asked, did anyone ever tell you God loves you? He has a good plan for your life. About a 12-year-old kid, he said, no, people tell me God wants to kill me. Man, if God wanted you dead, you'd be dead. But never doubt in the dark what God has told you in the light. And give God time to show you that He is at work. Because when all, you know what, breaks loose in your life and you're not having heaven on earth, even when you're on God's path and you're saying, God, is it your will that I face this issue? God, do you care? Why am I experiencing death? Why am I experiencing pain and suffering? Yeah, in the world, Jesus said, don't be surprised. Don't be confused. He said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And I have gone underground and am working in the roots that you cannot see. And what you thought the devil meant to break you, God is going to use to make you. And it may look like I have been totally devoured by a ravenous beast and it is over, but I'm just on the inside pulling his teeth out. And you say, wow, God really was at work in my life. God really does care. Wow, I've seen God move supernaturally in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is one of those messages you just stop and meditate. You just pause and consider. And let it just sink in on the inside of you. Thank you, Jesus. It's not by might nor by power. It's not physical. But it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Hola mama na 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 ma si da ba bando rebe me menge. Bora mana mango si ti ala basan de ke si de basi. Bibo la basan de ke si da baso tara la basan de ke si. Somebody asked, what are you doing? I'm praying and singing the perfect will of God. Not my will, but His will. I'm singing to myself and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in my heart to the Lord. I'm getting in the spirit. I'm getting out of the flesh. I'm getting out of my natural thinking. See, so much of our churches in the United States and the world are so carnal. Everything's about the outward flesh. And so people are never getting in the spirit. That's why people are facing depression and anxiety and all that just as bad in the church as they are in the world. That's why they're getting divorced in the church just as bad as they are in the world, because they're staying in the flesh. They care more about the seat that they're sitting on. They care more about the outward stuff of the flesh than they do the inward man of the spirit. You just focus on the things of the Lord. If we had every one of you here tonight beaten and locked in stocks, you would say, man, what kind of church is this? We're not here to cater to your flesh. I don't go here because of their technology is so amazing and so awesome. And man, they've got huge screens and they've got awesome cameras and they've got lights and they've got a cool light show. And man, their band is so amazing. And that guy's got the coolest guitar I've ever seen in my life. And I'm not here for any outward reason. I'm here because God has called me here. I'm here because God says you go here and you don't leave there. But what if I don't like the praise and worship? But what if they won't give me a pillow to sit on? Come on. Don't live according to the flesh. Well, I don't like the color of the carpet. Man, their podium, it looks like it's from Jonathan Edwards Day. Well, it is. And why is it here? Because God said it is going to be here. And if it's God's will, then it is the best thing we could possibly have here. There's nothing better than God's will. Amen. Hola mason de 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 kishiti kida basete kishete basoto ko. Quit worrying about the things of the flesh. Quit even focusing on that stuff. Who cares? I mean, yeah, He can do all things. He can fix all this stuff. It can be brand new, all latest, state of the art. We can have seats that come up out of the floor and massage you and all those. But who cares? It's not our will. Hola basendenge shita kabore. Bamana masando robo boshi. Kibala masando robo bokishan. Bamare meshiti oro bobo. Kobara mama nande de keshi. Obara boso toko robo bo. Oh, I'm gonna walk in the Spirit. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to walk in the joy that comes from obeying God. I'm going to walk in the joy that comes from His Spirit. I'm going to walk in the peace that flows from His throne. I'm going to walk in the peace that comes to His own. I'm going to walk in the peace that comes from His throne. Oh, barabasi tikira gashe teke. I'm not going to worry about the things of tomorrow. I'm not going to worry about the things of today. I'm not going to worry about whatever the devil is. I'm not going to worry what any man may say. Hallelujah, it has no bearing on my life. Oh, barabasi tekashi. It doesn't matter if I'm beaten or bloody. Hallelujah, kora, because Jesus is my buddy. Hallelujah, kora, bose denge denge. Yeah, wherever Jesus is the best place to be. Tell you what, in His presence is fullness of joy. Oh, it might be in a prison, but I would rather be in prison with Jesus than be in the tents of the wicked. Oh, rabongondo rebede. I'd rather be in a shack with Jesus than to be in a mansion with the devil. Oh, balamosende ne nengeshi. Oh, barabo. I'd rather be driving an old Ford Pinto with Jesus. Oh, balabasi, than driving a Lamborghini with the devil. Hallelujah. Now I wish I could lay hands on you and cast your flesh out. But you'd go to heaven if I did that. Can't cast the flesh out unless we have some ushers. But I do believe on the laying on of hands. And I do believe in receiving from the Holy Spirit through impartation. I believe there is an anointing to walk in the Spirit. I believe there's a strength that's imparted. And I believe there are things in that God speaks and gives gifts to men through the laying on of hands. So as the worship team plays and sings, if you're here tonight and you just want hands laid upon you, maybe you've been facing anxiety, fear, whatever. You just want to get out of the flesh and in the Spirit. Or maybe you're just so lost in the Spirit, you want to stay that way. Just come up here. I'm going to lay hands on you. And I want you to lift your hands and get ready to receive from the Lord. You're not receiving from man. You're not receiving from the flesh. But you're receiving from the Spirit of God. Ba manamanga nende le boso Just come right up to the front and line up right across here. I believe it's the second hands are laid on you. The moment hands are laid on you that you're going to receive from the Lord. Freedom from depression. Freedom from anxiety. That you're going to hear the voice of the Lord. You're going to hear the will of God. You're going to hear in the Spirit. As John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. You're going to hear things. You're going to see things. You're going to experience things by the Spirit as soon as hands are laid on you. The Bible says old men will dream dreams. Young men will see visions. Healing is going to take place in your body. If you need healing in your flesh, as you step in the Spirit, your flesh is going to line up with life and peace. His words are life to those that find Him and health to all their flesh. If you need healing in your body, receive it. If you need soul restoration, He restoreth your soul. Hallelujah. Ashley, come up with me. Hallelujah. We're going to lay hands on some folks. A threefold cord is not easily broken. A threefold cord is not easily broken, Chip. Hallelujah. A threefold cord is not easily broken. Intertwined in the name of Jesus. Intertwined in the name of Jesus. Intertwined. Oh, blama non go de masi de geshita baba bada maso. Oh, babola mose de baba mama si. Oh, bola mose de gena manga na mango de mose. A new walk in the Spirit. Just a fresh walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. For you and Jason. Jason, come here. I'm going to lay hands on you too. Stand here with your wife. Hallelujah. We're laying hands on both of y'all. Oh, a new walk in the Spirit for you guys. I just hear the Lord saying He's taking you to a new level and a new place of blessing in the Spirit. Oh, God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. I just see a new level of the Spirit in your life, in your family. More of a spiritual awareness. I just see a spiritual awareness for you and for your children. Thank you, Jesus. Xavier, come here. Stand with Esmeralda. Hallelujah. For the Montez family, a new walk of the Spirit, a new mindfulness of the Spirit. Oh, that you're mindful of the Spirit, spiritual things. Oh, la manango rebene, viva la manamango robobo, kida baba nange de geshi, bobo shi. I just see y'all praying together. I see you praying in the Holy Ghost together. I see you having times of worship together. And it's just God's taking you to another level. Another level of the Spirit. Peace, peace to your home. Hallelujah. Peace, 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 peace in Jesus' name. Peace. I just hear collective peace. Collective peace. You have many collections, but the Lord says, I want you to have collection of the fruit of the Spirit, collection of peace. Collect that. Jesus, 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 collect peace. I speak life, peace over you in Jesus' name. The Spirit of life. The Spirit of life over you in Jesus' name. The Spirit of life and the law of the Spirit of life over you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I speak life. Close the windows. Close the windows. Close the doors to the devil. Give no place to the devil. Only place for the Spirit. I just see God doing a transformation in you. God's taking out, I see like moving angels that are taking out things that are not of God, and they're bringing in Holy Ghost furniture. Now your job is just let the angels work. Let God have His way. Let God do what He wants to do. Say yes, Lord, not no, Lord. Just say yes, Lord, to His way. Let God do surgery on you. Just let God do surgery on you. Let Him take out anything that's not of Him and put in the things that are of Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let God have His way in you. Let God have His way. Say yes to the Lord. Say yes to His will. Don't worry about the flesh. Just focus on the Lord. Focus on the Lord. Make Him your constant delight. In His law doth He meditate day and night. You'll be like a tree planted by rivers of living water that bring forth His fruit in His season. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You for spiritual fruit. Spiritual fruit being manifest in you. We say no to the will of the flesh. We say yes to the will of God. No to the will of the flesh and yes to the will of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We say yes to God's perfect will of life. Life, 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 life. We say life and we speak life to you. We speak life to you in Jesus' name. Just let the Holy Spirit blow through you. Let the wind of the Holy Spirit blow out any garbage. Let it blow out just like an air compressor. Oh, that it blows out just like an air gun would blow stuff out. Blow junk out. Let the wind of the Holy Ghost blow junk out of you. Oh, breathe upon Him, Holy Spirit. Breathe upon Him, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. By your Spirit. Oh, that you walk after this Spirit. Daily, daily walk. It's a daily walk. That God's communing with you. Daily. There's a communion and a level of communion you haven't even seen yet that God's bringing you into. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Breathe, Lord. Breathe upon my brother. God, breathe upon him. Not his will, but your will be done in his life. It's time to get rid of the stuff that's of the natural, of the flesh. It's time to get rid of the garbage in your life. Take out the garbage. It's not supposed to be in there. Say yes to God's will. Say yes to the things of the Spirit in your life, in your home. Hallelujah. As you do, you watch what's going to happen. New level of peace. New level of peace. New level of joy. New level of joy, of peace. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, God. We say no to the flesh, yes to the Spirit. We say no to the flesh and yes to the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Anywhere you missed it, just do it. Just make it right. Anywhere you might have missed it, you just make it right, Brandon. Anywhere you might have. And if the Lord will show you if there is anywhere, I'm not saying there is, but if there is, close the windows. Close the windows. You're gonna experience an atmosphere, Brandon, an atmosphere of peace in your room. There's going to be an atmosphere of the Holy Ghost in your room that is manifest in there. That is going to be powerful. When you walk out of there, it's like you're going to walk out of a perfume factory. Hallelujah. It's just going to go with you everywhere you go. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The Spirit of the living God fall fresh. I just see freshness. There's a freshness in your ministry. Hallelujah. Freshness in your life. God cares about you. Every part, every cell, and every fiber of your being, God knows. He formed you. Can the Creator fix things? Can the Creator work things out? Can the Creator work out the things that He's made? Hallelujah. God can see. He sees those things. He's got X-ray vision. God can hear. He hears your cries. His ears are open to them. And I just hear the Lord saying, I'm responding to your cry. I'm responding to your cry. You are worth more than many, many birds. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we just speak freedom. We speak life. We speak freedom, deliverance, blessing. The Bible says that God rejoices over you with singing. He rejoices over you with singing. He's singing a song over you. He's singing and he's playing, he's worshiping. Because God dances, God rejoices. God exalts. He is exalted. Let Him be exalted in your life. He said, knock and it'll be open. Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Hallelujah. Just knock on the throne room of heaven and go in. Go on in there and worship with Him. Go in there and just get in the presence of Jesus. Get in there in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Won't worry about the flesh. Don't worry about the flesh. It's going to take care of itself. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow to it. I just hear the Lord's making you rich. The Lord's making you rich and add no sorrow to that. Oh, Baba, no depression. Oh, Baba, no mongo sita kashi. Oh, no lack. No lack. Oh, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Hallelujah. Not of your flesh, but of your heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God's doing a new thing in you. A new thing. Because the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies are new every morning. They're new every day. Every day there's a freshness about the Holy Spirit. Don't get caught in a rut. It's time to get out of the rut of life. Get out of that pattern, any carnal patterns you may have in your life. Get out of those carnal patterns and get in the pattern of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Get in the pattern of the Spirit. Life. We speak life. We speak life. We speak life. We speak health. We speak peace. The Lord He's waiting for you just to spend time with Him. Just for you to get away and spend time with Him in the Word. Get in the Spirit. Get time with Him in the things of the Spirit, not the things of the flesh. God's waiting in that special place for you. God's always, He's just there, waiting in that special place for you just to show up. Oh, sweet communion. I just see sweet communion with you and the Lord in the Spirit. Many great things are birthed in your time of the Spirit. Many great things. Have a pad of paper and a pen and write down what...